It was actually a mistake. I don't know if you heard our little talk last week, but I was cutting in and made a mistake, and then I just said, okay, shave it.
Serendipitous. It's good.
I'm good. Good to see you, Rami. You're in England now, yes?
Yes.
Yes. Good, good. How's all that going? Yes,
it's good, sir. So what I observed here is things are very organized. And if one wants to, you know, do sadhana, it's a really good place. But one should have a good, at least a job, you know, which can feed.
Right, right. Well, you do, right? I mean, you move there because of your job, right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, good, good.
But it's very, very expensive.
Yeah.
Very, very expensive, you know. So whatever I pay for a single room, right? So with that, I can survive 2 months in India, including right, food and bed. So.
But your salary is much more than India too, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So that all balances out. They pay you more money, but then they charge you more for everything.
Yes.
That's like you hear about people in New York City making $160,000 a year, and you think, wow, that's a lot of money. But then their rent is like $5,000 a month. So
60,000 is gone there.
Yeah.
But overall, it's very nice. Yeah. But the weather is a bit unpredictable, you know. Suddenly it's sunny and then it rains and it would be chill for a moment. It's very unpredictable weather. But it's a greenery everywhere, you know.
That's good. Are you in like downtown London or in a city around London?
Around London. It's a place called Reading. So it's 35 miles away from the central city.
Oh, okay. Good, good.
It's a different county.
I don't know why I don't have a picture anymore.
Oh, hold on. Let's see. We'll fix that. Ask to start video. There you go. Oh. Did that work? You should just have to say yes, and then we're on. There you are. Hello, hello.
Okay.
Hi, Trish.
There I go. And Kathleen is here with us this week. Hello, hello.
Hello, hello.
Hello, John. Love your haircut.
Oh, thank you.
I saw last week, so I know the explanation, so don't have to go through that.
There you go. Good, good. Yes.
You look very cool. Very, updated, I guess.
Thank you. Yes, indeed.
Probably doesn't mean much to you. Since it's only the body.
Indeed.
Indeed. Seen Rami for a long time.
Yeah, it took little time to settle down here. Yes, penultimate week.
Are you going to start talking with a British accent?
I accept one or two words, London. That's it. I'm trying.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Are you going to be staying there?
I speak eventually, yeah. Yeah, Keith, moved to London a month ago. I'm brand new to this new city. Yeah, so I think I am getting more attention than the main purpose, sorry. Sir, may I ask, I saw recently, there were 2 or 3 weeks, there were no sessions. So will it be going to like this or it was just an exception?
I think it was either the week before last week, June 6th, I had something, or June 8th, I'm sorry, I had something I had to do. And in May, there was one week where I was in Ocean City. And I don't think I did it. Yeah, so I don't think I did it in Ocean City because I was in Ocean City, so it was like vacationing. So just those one-time things. But every so often, I'll always put it on the website, though. I'll take away the Zoom link so you'll know, and it'll say next session is at such and such. But it's spontaneous. Honestly, I just don't know what, you know, what might be. Fine. But it's continuing. I was just wondering. Yeah, it's still continuing. It's just every so often it might something pop up. So
so it's a little thing, it's a little after midnight there now.
Yes, you are right. Actually, it's 12 past 20. Yeah.
Well, that's a lot better for you though than waking up at like 3 in the morning at India, right?
Yes, yes. That's like after four in between. So, you know, I was observing, you know, even though I'm not attending the sessions, trying to observe, you know, how I'm responding to the outside world, how I'm behaving, thinking. So I am seeing a lot of, you know, corruption in me. Like at office, you know, sometimes I lie. There comes the ambition, and insecurities are there. So I feel, you know, strongly as days are progressing after coming to this new country, I think unless we minimize our expectations, you know, we can't come out of these kind of, you know, greed, all these things. Even though we work, you know, without any expectation, that wouldn't work out. Eventually system will kick out. Suppose, you know, if I work without any expectation, then my boss or, you know, or my leads will say that, you know, this guy is not underperforming. So whether I'm working or not, unless I go and tell them that, yes, I'm expecting this, I did this, then they will remove me. And apart from that, right, you know, the people, they compete with each other, envies are there. So this 9-to-5 job, I don't think that in a long run it's suitable for I don't think that, you know, it can coexist with spirituality.
But no, you know yourself in a real sense and then do what needs doing. You know, I think Nisargadatta Maharaj says, you know, you just do what is in front of you. Do what needs doing. Do whatever you like. Once you know yourself in a real sense, oh, I'm the formlessness. All this is occurring within my own selfless self. All of this is illusion. Now participate fully in the illusion. In the moment, you do what needs doing. And you don't have, see, when you sit there and you say, oh, I think I'm slipping or something like this, this is then giving to mind, and mind is creating through identity of I am slipping, I am doing something. But you know yourself in a real sense. Okay, this body-based illusion, just like a dream. If you're dreaming tonight and you see Rami, you know, not performing or, you know, lying or doing something, you don't sit there and say, oh, ho, this is so bad. This is so terrible. It's a dream character. These things happen spontaneously and you just move on. There's no thinking about, oh, what I just did, because there's no doer, no deed. Now, you can't go off, you know, because some people will say, and this is the favorite line of like, well, that means I could go in and rob a bank and this and that. Yes, but then you'll go to dream prison. And then your new experience within, you may know yourself as the selfless self, but you'll be waking up every day to the new experience of being behind bars. And even though you know yourself in a real sense, your body-based existence is confined a bit. So it's not an egoistic thing of just do whatever you want. But what it's meant to say is that this mind flow that's saying, oh, Rami is doing all these things. No, Rami's not doing anything. Rami is a lump of goo. that the formless presence is moving about within its own self, and that you are.
If you don't have attachment, I guess there's a lot of stuff you don't bother doing, I suppose.
Well, if you're formless, how can you be attached to anything? Think about the space in the room. If I want to give the space in the room a drink, how would I do that? Well, I would do that through this instrument of John. I'm giving the space in the room a drink. The formless presence is drinking this drink through the concept of the form of John, the drinker. Because through the mind, a thought comes, I'm thirsty.
See, as you have said earlier, even though one consider or one came out of this false idea of self, but if one still operating in the worldly things, still it causes suffering, right? Suppose if I compete with others in the office, definitely the amount of growth is limited, but the people competing are more. So that means definitely some of them would be left behind, the others will get it. So the whoever is left behind, they will be suffered. Suppose there is maybe $1 lakh budget is there.
Rami,
there
are stop you. There are no others. And you're playing a role. Play a very good role. The role of Rami is to be the best Rami that you can be. And that's it. You do your job, you do your duties, you take care of all your responsibilities. It's the formless presence. All your whole team, all these people that you believe are competing and leaving behind and all this, they're all the same you. Just as in a dream. If you had a dream tonight that you were in an office in a competitive environment and everybody was so competitive, you don't lose yourself. But at the same time, you participate fully in the moment. Just know yourself in a real sense. Don't think about what others are doing or others are thinking or how others are feeling or how others are suffering, because there are no others. So you, as Rami, are a character. You're an actor. So act your role very well. You've been given a new part. And just as if you're, all these actors, one movie, Brad Pitt plays an assassin. And the next movie, then here he is as a policeman or a detective. And he doesn't sit there and say, well, now that I'm playing a detective, I was playing an assassin. And this is a conflict for me. How can I have been with Angelina Jolie as a hired hitman in one movie? And now here I am as a detective solving crime. It's off balance because I can't take these two roles. No, you were Rami, who had the role when you were in India at your company doing what you were doing. And now you have taken on a new role. Here you are in this new place in England, performing your role quite nicely. Do your job, do your duties. Don't worry about now if your boss comes to you and says, oh, Rami, you're not doing a very good job. Okay, I try to do better, whatever, but there's no deed, no doer. My boss is the formless sense of presence. I don't sit there and mentate about it and sit at home. Oh no, these terrible things are happening. And mine says, Rami will be homeless in England because the boss is going to say, Rami is no good. But this is not the truth. Until the boss says, Rami, you're no good and you gotta go. And in which case then a new scene is unfolding. But there's no Rami to be carried from scene to scene to scene. Just like Brad Pitt is the assassin in one movie, he doesn't carry that into the new role of being detective.
Well, they even say, there's no change, that there is no change.
Well, there's nothing's happening. Nothing's ever happened and nothing can happen because you're formless. So all this form is just like a dream. When you lay down at sleep at night, different various scenes come, different stories come. Moon and river and all the people all come every night. Well, this is a long dream because you're formless. So there's form, and you see this form through this appearance. But on the day of your birth, you were not there to experience your birth. You weren't actually there to experience anything until there was an awareness of, I am something. And I am something came when I see mom or dad. And mom and dad were lumps of goo who were expecting a you that they labeled when the lump of goo came out and said, this is John, he's our son. And eventually you started saying, I am John. Then parents say, good job, John, bad job, John. So John learns that he's doing good things and bad things. But the formless presence just is.
Oh.
When Ramakant died, there's a like sort of a series of actions you go through to prepare the body, and I don't know if they burn him or I don't suppose they probably don't bury him over there.
Well, Ramakant wasn't participating in any of that, but there was the ritual. Of, and there are videos about this that we have on the YouTube channel.
Yeah, I kind of forget how it went.
Basically, the body was there, and they put the flowers and the garlands, and then, yeah, there was a ceremony to burn the body. And then the different ashes and bones and things made a murti in Nashik Ashram. But Ramakant Maharaj didn't die. The formless presence is no longer acknowledging through the form of Sri Ramakant Maharaj. But the formless presence that Maharaj is and that you are still very much is here, regardless of whether any of the bodies are around. If all the bodies are gone, presence still is.
So in this lineage, there's no like special like thing you do to help somebody pass over, or you know, people that maybe aren't fully awakened or whatever. There's like nothing. They don't treat one death different than another, or
well. Again, we're speaking as if we're individuals,
yeah, right.
Which you are not.
I mean,
there isn't like a special ritual thing for helping people pass over, right? You don't say like, you can say prayers, I suppose. But
well, the special thing for helping people pass over is when the guru is saying, you are not body, you were not body, you're not going to remain the body. There can be nothing better to help you pass over than this, because then you absolutely know there's no birth, no death. So this concept of passing over belongs to the body, which I am not.
John,
go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. So what I am, I could see you is how much, I can twist and ask you, or whatever the question, how intellectual I ask, but your stand doesn't change, John. Your stand means the way you wherever we go, you see that, that is as illusion, whatever is happening. So I could say definitely this behavior is not just the response of memory. It's more life than memory. So that is the difference, as an audience, Rami and the John. Now you are saying to find out that in the previous lectures, meditate, right?
Yeah. If you have, once you meditate, you know yourself in a real sense. You sit there and you feel that very subtle sense of presence, just I, and you remain. Nisargadatta Maharaj says, calling it remain with the I am. Maharaj says, just remain with your selfless self. And it's just I, I without anything. And all the answers are there, because you are the answer to every question. Because every question came along with the body, and you have to pose yourself as a body or an individual to ask a question. Think about any question that you ask. If you were not identified as a body, how would this question arise? So that just means there's a little bit more meditation, a little bit more remaining with your selfless self until the conviction comes. Oh, so that I am that. I am not body. I was not body. I'm not going to remain the body. Body's not my identity. So the question about my job, if I don't have a body, how does this question about my job affect me?
Mm-hmm.
And if I know I'm not a body, then I know you're not a body. Because that, it's not just I am not a body. How can there be separate anything? Because the formlessness is, and everything else is an appearance. So by knowing yourself in a real sense, it answers all the questions.
But see, one thing, I asked you sometime back, I got one answer that, while asking you, how this, the mechanical repetition of the mantra is going to bring the, are casting away this illusion of the false self. Yes, it's like a hammer, breaking a stone, eventually hitting, and everything breaks, the stone breaks into a powder, and it will be grinded to the powder.
More like broom.
So like that? Huh.
More like a broom. Because like Maharaj says, the fire is burning, ash is there, the broom is just sweeping this ash away. Or you're just kind of... Because you're not doing anything to the fire. You're not making the fire greater or bigger. You're just able to see the fire now because the ash is removed. So the formless presence that you are, reflecting in a clean mind, because mind has no layers of illusion. It's just, as we talked about, almost like a magnifying glass that's amplified on an ant. It just burns it away. And thoughts that do try to come in, they're just burned away because it's a clear mind now. You're reflecting your selfless self. And then you know the entire world is a projection on spontaneous presence. Oh, so that I am that.
I mean, to know that, so you are saying these concepts will be eradicated with the mantra. So these are concepts are the ash, you know, in the simile you mentioned.
But because you believe now, in these concepts, and mantra will break this chain of belief. The belief is false. There are no concepts. You are that. But right now you're believing in these concepts. So these false concepts just need to be cleared. And the main false concept is, I am a body in a world. This is not true. So you believe this false concept, but the mantra will allow you to slowly, silently, and permanently erase all these layers of illusion, because these thoughts come in about you being a body in a world, and because you believe in this false concept, it builds this layers of ash over the fire. And you just have to sweep that away. You are not body. Now, could you just say, I am not body, and begin living that way? Yes, because this is the truth. But the mantra is there as another concept to help you remove these concepts of being a body in a world. They're not true. If you believe you're a body, then you believe in the concept of birth and death. But you're not a body, so the concept of birth and death is gone. If you believe you're a body, then there will be questions about what happens when I am no longer in the body. Well, but you're inside and outside the body and around the body, and the body is within you. So this question doesn't make sense. But once you remove the false concept, you will see this.
So here again, two things. One is my understanding. What I understood here is I'm the body. Idea comes in different layers. Maybe I indulge in some kind of activity. There also, inherently, I'm the body idea is operating when that indulgence is taking place. Similarly, there might be some attachment. So that is another concept. Under that, again, I'm the body idea is there. So that means this, I am the body idea. If you consider this as a stem, there are many roots, you know, like
these roots are different. The stem concepts. Is I am, I exist. Because okay. This is also not true. Okay. And this is what creates duality. I know I exist. Yes, I exist, but the knowledge of my existence creates the concept of duality. It's not needed. So if you talk about the root is I exist, I am. This is the root.
Okay.
On this okay. comes I exist as this body. I exist in this world. This is mom. This is dad. These are the concepts and more the body relations, the body knowledge, the lifespan, all of this. But it all begins with the knowledge of existence. You exist. This I exist, this I am, has appeared to that exists that had no knowledge of existence. That you are.
Okay, Atman. Okay, at least just I'm using the word Atman. But you know, here the second thing remaining is still, you know, how the you said, you know, mantra is like a broomstick, so it cleans
a
up.
Broom. Yep.
Yeah, broom. See, yeah, I no need to know whether a broom can sweep it or not. Maybe I can try out and, you know, just, you know, use it rather than whether it works or not. But still, this idea, like, you know, there is this question, how the mantra works, or does really mantra work? You know, this question is stopping me to pursue this meditation completely, or, you know, to do meditation full-fledgedly, doing half-heartedly many times. Sometimes I do. So
mantra is, again, and Maharaj has used also the term the antivirus software. You could say your mind is a big computer. And it's full of wrong files. The wrong files is, I exist as Rami. These are my parents. These are my brother and sister. This is the place that I grew up. Because I grew up here, I have these ideas. Because I grew up here, I have this religion. I believe strongly in this religion. Because of this, I believe this way. I believe I'm a man. I believe I have a lifespan. I believe that you know, people need to like me. I believe people don't like me. I listen to this mind flow about me. This are all wrong files. The antivirus software comes in and removes these wrong files by allowing you to remain with your selfless self. And when you ask about mantra, I can only say from my own experience, Maharaj gave mantra. I truly believe that it was God. Maharaj is God, this presence that I was feeling that has come in human form to say, okay, I've heard your prayers, basically. I've heard your pleas. I've heard your pleas for freedom. And now I give you this mantra, you are free. Do this. I mean, anybody, even in a religious state, if you ask the people in the church, if their deity came down and said, do this, it's like, oh, you know, it's a yes. Yes, master, I will do this. This mantra, remain with mantra. And not just sitting and meditating, like holding the hands and keeping quiet and all this, but mantra continuously. All the time. My mind wants to go over here. No, give it to mantra. Over here, go to mantra. And this is my experience. This is where you start to see that the thinking process is not needed, that it's spontaneous action in the moment, where scenes appear and disappear all the time because there's not a mind flow trying to identify a you in time with specific sequence. It's just scenes appearing and disappearing. And you'll see this as mantra because, like Maharaj says, mother wants to bake dinner. The children want to play with mother. The children are mind, ego, intellect. Mother gives mind, ego, intellect, the children, toys so that they're distracted and she can cook dinner. The toys are the mantra. Mind, ego, intellect are entertained with mantra so that mother, your own selfless self, can cook, can be with herself without having the interruptions of all the children. Mind, ego, intellect constantly saying, oh, what's this? Oh, what's that? What if this? What if that? Mind keeps producing thoughts. Oh, this is nice, but on your deathbed, you might be senile. How will you remember yourself if you're senile? These are some of the questions that the mind can do to chase the tail, you know, to keep you just in perpetual illusion. And Maharaj says, no, no, no. When this mind says anything, oh, if there's a nuclear war and I get incinerated in a moment, but I'm not remaining with my selfless self, will I still be able to be one with my selfless self? These are the things that the mind represents, and you remain with your selfless self. What's the answer to this question?
There's nothing.
You remain with your selfless self. There's nothing. Okay, if there's a nuclear bomb and it comes and you're evaporated in a second, what happens to your own selfless self?
Nothing.
Nothing. Exactly. Where do you go?
Nowhere.
That's right. What if the whole world explodes and there's no longer an Earth? Where are you?
Where you are right now.
Yes.
Yeah, well, yes. I know.
Movie playing. Or no movie is playing.
Yeah, there'll be no movie playing, but you are. Nor are you sitting in the theater waiting, like you know how they do before the movie, waiting for preview or dark. There's nothing, because there is nothing now. Just this dream that we somehow have identified as a body form having experiences.
I always tend to think of there's a difference in the quality of feeling free and not free.
You provide the power for the feeling to appear. Free or not free are concepts appearing on your spontaneous presence. Prior to beingness, free and not free were not.
The feeling of that I'll start to say I'm feeling free. That's is it? I don't know if that's more subtle or not.
Well, the I that feels free is already free, but is perhaps losing the concept of not being free, but is always free.
But then a part of me will sort of recognize a difference. And
a part of you, there is no part. It's the whole. There is no difference because there's nothing other.
And that's why sometimes they say it's all one.
Not even one, because to count one, you have to count more. There's nothing. Zero. Not even zero, because we have a concept of zero as being something. And it's prior to zero.
So the mind will do what it does. It'll identify something as if it's being the way that the mind can identify things.
There is no mind at all. And you're supplying power to the mind by getting wrapped up in illusory thoughts. Think about this. If there was no body form of Keith, how would the mind disturb you?